Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? Do people say stuff like that?
I apologize for it.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We're going to the university again today for Witness Wednesday. We're just going to go talk to folks to see if they will have chats on the radio, and we will ponder the big philosophical questions. Let's see what sort of thinkers we have here. For instance, there's a guy laying on his back who is reading a book, So You Want to Be a Rock and Roll Star. Hey, dude, could I talk to you on the radio? That'd be all right? So you want to be a rock and roll star, do you?
Well, not particularly, but the author of the book is one of my the members of my favorite band. So.
Which band is that?
Semisonic.
And so you're interested, so you're reading the book. All right. Today we're out on the campus, and we're going to ask the big philosophical questions of life. You're young. You're thinking about where you're going in life, what life has in store for you. Here's our, you know, the big question that all the philosophers ask are questions like, where did I come from? What am I doing here? Where am I going? You want to grab one of those and tell me what your thoughts are? Where'd you come from? What are you doing here? And where are you going? By the way, how old are you?
I am 20 years old.
All right, 20 years old. So you've had some of these thoughts run through your brain, right?
Absolutely.
All right, so where'd you come from? What are you doing here, and where are you going?
I don't know.
Don't know. Or you haven't thought about it. All right, where do you think you came from?
Well, my theory on that is I'm a Christian. However, I don't, as far as evolution goes, I believe that we were created by God. But not necessarily in this form. I do believe in evolution from something else that was created by God. There are so many things in the world that can't be explained. That's why I believe in God. He's the final explanation for those things. But I'm also a scientist. I'm a chemical engineer. So I believe in a lot of things from a scientific aspect, too.
So let's just say, I'm just going to take what you just said. You believe in God because he answers some of the unanswerable questions. What if, through getting your degree in chemical engineering and through science, they're able to answer a lot of those questions? Would you still believe in God?
Well, my thoughts on that are that as many questions as can be answered by science or other things, they're going to develop further questions which can't be answered. There's always going to be something else out there that no one can explain to me.
But hypothetically, pretty much it resolves in your mind that science has the answer for stuff. Will you still have a need for God at that point?
Absolutely.
Why?
Why?
You said you're a Christian. Tell me why you're a Christian.
Well, I was raised Christian. I mean, ultimately, that's why I'm a Christian. If I wasn't raised Christian, I wouldn't have been introduced to it.
But now you're 20. You've been introduced to Islam and Buddhism and everything else, but you're sticking with Christianity. Why?
I guess it's because I haven't found any reason not to, if that makes sense. It's never failed me. Whenever times have gotten tough, I've been able to fall back on my beliefs and fall back on people who have similar beliefs and share with them on that. And I guess that's why.
All right, so tell me, what is the greatest thing that God has done for you?
He's given me the opportunity to choose my own path. He's given me the opportunity to be a scientist and believe in those things, as well as still have my faith in him.
Now, the last question. Where are you going? When you die, where do you think you're going?
I don't know. I hope I can get to heaven. I hope I can be the kind of person I need to be to get to heaven, but...
Do you think you have to be a good person to get to heaven?
Depends on your definition of good. I think you have to be forgiven, obviously. You have to be forgiven, but I don't know.
All right, explain to me then. You said you think you're going to heaven, or I think the word you used was hopefully. Are you hope? All right, tell me what your confidence level is. Out of a score of 100, are you at a 50-50, 80-20? Where are you hovering?
Well, I've got hopefully quite a bit of my life ahead of me, so where I am now, if I were to die tomorrow, I'd say I'm 80-20, maybe a little better than that. I think I lead a pretty good life, pretty wholesome.
Okay, so I'm a little confused now, young man. You're 80-20. You think you're going to heaven, 80%. Pretty good, you're going to heaven. What do you think it takes to get into heaven? What's missing? Is it like you got to clean up 20% of your act? Is that what you're thinking?
I think I should be more devout in my beliefs, but sometimes I feel like I don't have time for that. So I guess that's my main.
So if you were, I'm just, you tell me if I've got this right or wrong. If you were perhaps more devout in your faith, then you would be convinced that you're going to have, you'd be 100%.
I don't think I'd ever be 100%.
Really? Now, I got to tell you, that's a little perplexing to me because I happen to be a Christian. So I thought that you can know for sure where you're going when you die, but you don't seem to have that same confidence. Is that right?
I think at the moment before my death, I hope I'll be confident. No, I don't know. I really don't know.
So, once again, though, what does it take to get to heaven? If you aren't sure, there must be something that you must do in order to be confident that you are going to heaven. Let's say this guy is sitting right here. He came up to you and said, what do I need to do to go to heaven? What would you tell him?
Tell him to be a good person and follow the voice of God that's inside him.
All right. Let's check that out real quick. By the way, what's your first name?
I'm Luke.
Luke. Like the Bible name, right?
That's where I was named from, yeah.
Okay, from like the Bible book. All right. So, Luke, you consider yourself to be a good person. Is that right?
I do.
Have you kept the Ten Commandments?
More or less.
All right. Have you ever told a lie?
Absolutely.
Okay, so what does that make you? If you've told lies, what type of person tells lies?
Sinner.
Specifically, if I told a lie, you'd call me a?
Liar.
Liar, right. All right. Have you ever stolen anything?
Yes.
All right, so what does that make you?
Thief.
Okay. Have you ever looked at a woman and had a sexual thought about her that you shouldn't have had?
Yes.
All right. You know that Jesus said that if you've done that, you've committed adultery in your heart because you've lusted. You don't have to commit the act. Think about it. He's got you tagged. All right. Have you ever taken the Lord's name in vain?
Yes.
All right. Now, you die. You're standing before God to give an account for every thought, every word, every deed, and every action. He takes you through the Ten Commandments, which is what we just did. We went through like four commandments. Do you think he's going to find you innocent or guilty, Luke?
Guilty.
So are you going to heaven or hell?
Like I said, I hope and think that I may be going to heaven.
Why?
Because he forgives us.
Why?
That's what he does. He's a forgiving person.
So he's going to forgive everybody?
I don't know.
Okay. I'm going to rephrase it and I'm going to put some emphasis on a certain word. So listen carefully. You're standing before God. You're guilty of breaking his laws. In fact, let me even take it a step further. You're 20 years old, right? Would you say that this is fair? For the last 10 years, you have sinned. You have broken God's commandments 3 times a day. Would you think that's at least a reasonable number?
Sure.
Dishonoring your parents, a filthy thought, anger, etc. All right. If I do my math right, that's about 10,000 violations of God's laws. There you stand. He knows it all, every thought, every word, and every deed. Finds you guilty, as you just said. Should he send you to heaven, or should he send you to hell?
He should send me to hell.
But that's not where you want to go, right?
Really?
Clearly, right. So why is he going to take you to heaven, then, if you should go to hell?
As I said before, I think it's because he's a forgiving individual.
Now, I want to take you to a courtroom on Earth. You get busted. The police come by here for what? You can't have rollerblades on the grass here at the university. You've broken the law. They take you before the judge. They've got a picture of it. They've got you busted. And you can't read anything by semisonic. It's against the law. And you're guilty. And you stood before the judge and said, yes, I'm guilty, but I think you're forgiving, and I think you should just let me go. Should the judge do that? No, he shouldn't do that, should he? Because a judge is sworn to uphold justice. He must punish when people do wrong, correct? So why won't God punish you for breaking his laws?
It's not in his nature.
So he lets in rapists and murderers and criminals and thieves into heaven?
I bet there are some of those people in heaven, yes.
Okay.
They've converted and they've changed their ways.
Well, that's a new piece of information, all right? So tell me then, Luke. You're standing before God. You're guilty. You should go to hell. Specifically, what has God done for you so you don't have to go to hell? What has he done to pay your fine?
He died for our sins.
There you go. Jesus Christ died for our sins, to forgive us of our sins. He shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins, right?
Yes.
Now, do you believe that Jesus Christ is God?
Yes.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for 80% of your sins or 100%?
100%.
Right, there you go. So you should be going to heaven not because you're pretty good, you need to be more devout, but because you're forgiven, period, right?
Yes.
It's not about doing enough good to be there, being really devout to get there. It's just about being forgiven, correct?
Yes.
So are you forgiven?
Yes.
So you should be knowing you're going to heaven for sure, right?
In theory, yes, I should be.
It makes sense, right? Or maybe is it because your faith is a little on the wobbly side?
That's part of it, too.
What did you do to become a Christian?
Well, I was baptized.
As a child?
As an infant, yeah.
But now as an adult, have you come to the point where you've recognized, you know what, God is real, he's holy, he's the just judge of all the world, I've sinned against him, he died on a cross to forgive me, and I need to repent and put my trust in him? Have you come to that adult realization yet?
Yes. Yes, I was confirmed as a Catholic a few years ago.
Are you born again?
I think so, yes.
So then you should know, right?
I should.
All right, so then real quick, because I know you want to scoot, I said two things that you got to do to be made right with God. I said you got to repent, which means confess and forsake your sins, and put your trust in Jesus Christ. All right? You're confident you've done that?
Yes.
Then you should be confident you're forgiven and going to heaven, right?
Thank you.
Then you should have a better day. And if you don't know for sure, then do that. Not rely on getting more holy or righteous, but repenting before God and putting your trust in him. And then he says he'll give you a new heart with new desires, you'll know you're saved, and you'll be found not guilty on the day of judgment. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
You're a nice young man. Thanks for talking to me. All right. See you, dude. I hope your book is good.
It is.
All right.
This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And at Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines. We're fighting back with truth. We've brought together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity, people who aren't afraid to speak biblical truth into marriage and parenting and manhood and the cultural battles we're facing every day. But here's the thing. That mission, well, it takes resources. And that's where faithful gospel partners come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry, you're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. You're standing with us in this brave new world. And hey, while you're thinking about it, make sure you download Fortis Plus if you haven't already. Hundreds of hours of biblical content available for you to listen to right now, and we're adding more every day, and it's completely free for everyone. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California, beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at FortisPlus.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 64 AD. After fire ravages Rome, Emperor Nero blames Christians and unleashes the first state-sanctioned persecution of Christians. Roman persecution would continue for 250 years until Emperor Constantine officially recognized and defended Christianity. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
All right. I'm on the grass here. There's just pretty much anybody that you can talk to. So I'm going to see if this young man would be willing to have a little chat with me. He was just sitting here. Hey, could I talk to you on the radio for a second? Well, we're talking to people. What year are you in here?
I'm a sophomore.
Sophomore. All right, so maybe you've already pondered these questions, but we are asking university students the big questions of life, not just what they're studying, but the big philosophical, where'd you come from, what are you doing here, where are you going kind of questions. Well, I mean, if that's your viewpoint, if you're an existentialist, but the big philosophy, you know, how did we arrive? Did we get created? Did we get big banged? What's the purpose? What's the goal of man? And then ultimately, does something happen to us when we die? Do we go anyplace? Do you have any views on that subject?
Well, I think there has to be a higher sort of purpose for our being here. I mean, whether it's self-betterment and helping out our fellow man, I mean, that remains to be seen, and that's a personal viewpoint of whoever you're talking to.
So what do you think you're doing here?
I just think I'm here to learn as much as I can, and kind of, you know, if I get the chance to help people out along the way, you know, power to me, I guess.
Do you think there's an afterlife?
I don't know. I guess I'll find out when I get there.
All right. So if you don't know for sure, I'm curious, are you living life to the full?
I'd like to think so. I think that's really all you can do.
All right. Then answer this question. I come from a pretty religious bent, and so I try to follow a certain set of morals and guidelines, because I believe that there's a judgment to come where we'll be judged for every thought, word, deed, and action, and so try to live by a certain standard. So I'm just curious, and you can explain this to me, if you don't believe that there's an ultimate accountability, shouldn't you basically be partying your head off and doing everything that you just enjoy doing a lot? Because if this is it, shouldn't this be just the maximum amount of fun for you?
I suppose so, but I mean, I guess there's, you know, living in a society of people, there's certain norms you have to conform to. I mean, you have to respect other people, and there's laws imposed on us, whether they be, you know, higher spiritual, religious laws or just the laws of man.
But as far as, you know, not breaking the law, I'm not saying go out and rob a bank, but just, you know, partying, having a good time, doing whatever it is that you enjoy doing, that isn't maybe the most productive thing in the world, but it's just plain fun. Are you doing the maximum amount of that?
No, I suppose you have to split up, you know, what you do between altruistic purposes as far as, you know, learning and helping other people out, as far as just, you know, having fun, I guess.
So what's your goal in life? Ultimately, when you get laid to rest, the tombstone gets erected, your accomplishment that you go, yeah, that's the thing that I was striving for. What is it?
I guess satisfaction in everything I've done. You know, I'd like to say that I've really accomplished something, you know, laid something behind me. I haven't really found out what that's going to be yet, but I'd like to say that I made some sort of difference.
All right, so contributed to mankind somehow. Where do you think we came from?
You know, I don't know. Is that a creationism versus evolution type question? Or
most likely, because those are really the two big schools.
Well, I guess people overlook the kind of the chance that it could be a combination of both as far as Darwin's theory of evolution and creationism goes. As far as, you know, natural selection and all that goes, that's still perfectly acceptable, but that initial spark of life, you know, we just don't have enough information to be able to assess, you know, what that cause was.
Right. Now, you kind of think that there maybe could be a blending possibly. Did you grow up in a religious home?
Not originally very religious. I wasn't raised religious, but my parents did become religious later on, but they didn't really ingrain those beliefs into me.
What did they become?
Just non-denominational Christian.
And you're not that, is that correct?
Not particularly.
How come?
I don't know. I think I don't really want to be a part of just an institution where there's like sort of a rigid hierarchy of command and stuff, where you've got a middleman between you and your beliefs.
The church, in other words.
Yeah, the church.
So have your parents tried to convert you?
Not really. I mean, as far as what they're involved in, it's not very rigid. It's sort of just, you know, a belief system where, you know, you believe what you believe in and then try to do good by that, and you're pretty much set.
What do you think the core message is? What do you think the important message is of Christianity?
Christianity. I guess it's basically just rules of conduct. I mean, you respect those, you know, the creators, parents, and God, and then just the other people. Respect those created of God and God himself.
And who do you think Jesus Christ is?
I suppose some people would claim that he's not the Son of God, but I think he was probably a great prophet. There's a lot of evidence to support the fact that he did, in fact, exist and all that. And I think he was a great prophet. I don't know if he's really the Son of God, but as far as prophets go, he was probably the best.
All right. So what was his message? If he was the greatest prophet of all time, what was he preaching?
Salvation, I suppose.
And what does that mean?
Well, salvation from, I guess, the corrosive, evil desires of some people.
What about the salvation of their soul?
Well, when you talk about soul, I guess that would be a higher purpose. Perhaps, you know, what you do in life lends itself somehow to a greater purpose. So maybe he was preaching some sort of message where you have to think beyond yourself and your own material needs.
And so this Jesus Christ, if he was here preaching, what do you do with the stuff, with the records where he did talk about an afterlife? He called himself God. He talked about a heaven. He talked about a hell. You said that he was a great prophet, but if he said things like that, what do you do with those statements that make him seem to be a little bit more than just a prophet?
I don't know. They could be all blown out of proportion. I personally choose to believe that, you know, only parts of the message, you know, those things.
Which parts?
Well, I guess love for your fellow man and being altruistic and all that. But as far as, you know, afterlife and all that, I mean, we can't be sure until the end.
So why is it then you've taken this book and you've selected certain things that you perhaps like or agree with, but you've rejected other parts of it? What was your system for deciding which was something that you should agree with, believe in, or reject?
I guess you just follow your heart, you know. You try to get as much information you can from as many sources and then kind of put it all together in a
feelings, your intuition, your instinct. All right, what you believe. All right, once again, though, if Jesus said that he was more than a prophet, he said he was God, I think there's three options then. He either was God, he was lying, or he was just nuts to say something like that, right? I mean, you'd have to be kind of out there to say that you are God in the flesh, living on this earth. Which one do you think it is? Was he lying? Was he a lunatic? Or do you think that he might possibly be God in the flesh?
He could very well have been God. I mean, even if he was a madman, I mean, he still had some substance to what he was saying. But I guess I really haven't decided, you know, what I believe that he was.
Right. All right. Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Yes.
Okay. How do you determine if you are a good person or not? What is your standard of measurement for knowing that you're a good guy?
Well, it's totally relative. I mean, if you feel that you're being righteous and virtuous and you have a set of beliefs that you stick by and are altruistic, then I suppose, you know, you have to assume that you're a good person.
I'm going to share with you, if you would be so kind, if you give me this leeway, to share with you the standard that I think the Bible says we must measure ourselves by, because I don't know if you realize this, but the Bible says that there's a day of judgment. We live our life, we're appointed a day of death, and then God judges us, which is a big thought. And we should probably spend some time pondering that, because if that's so, even if there's a remote possibility, we would do well to consider how we might do on that day of judgment. So you'd consider yourself to be a good person, maybe compared to some other folks, compared to just how you feel you're doing in life, how successful you are. But how would you do in the eyes of God? Do you think that God would look at you and say, yeah, he's a good guy?
Well, it really depends on some sects, you know, have more rigid standards for that sort of thing. But I mean, if you just look at the law of God given down to Moses, I suppose, yeah, I am a pretty good guy.
Okay, so have you ever told a lie?
Oh, I probably have, yeah.
Have you ever stolen anything?
Yeah, I probably have.
I had a sexual thought about somebody that you shouldn't have had?
Well, I don't know. That's all relative. I mean, I don't know who I wouldn't want to think about.
Well, I say that just because Jesus, that's the adultery commandment. But Jesus said that you don't have to actually commit the act. You just need to think about it. And he judges the intention of the heart. So if we just think an adulterous thought, we're an adulterer at heart, is what Jesus taught. Same thing with calling somebody an idiot or in anger or disgust. Have you ever done that?
Oh, absolutely.
Because Jesus said, you've heard it said of old, thou shalt not commit murder. But I say, if you call somebody a fool, you've committed murder in your heart. Have you taken the Lord's name in vain?
Oh, sure I have.
All right, so you're standing before God on Judgment Day. You brought up the Ten Commandments. There was five of them that you've broken. Do you think God's going to find you innocent or guilty?
Well, it's all good. I suppose, you know, we're humans, and if we were created, you know, of sin and stuff, we're all guilty.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree. But, I mean, that doesn't fly, though, in front of a judge on earth. You know, hey, if we're all people, judge, we all kind of steal stuff. If he's sworn to uphold justice, he's going to find you guilty if he has the evidence, right? And wouldn't God do the exact same thing if he knows everything, every thought, every deed, every action? Would you be innocent or guilty before him?
In the eyes of God, probably guilty, but Jesus did preach forgiveness.
Yes, he did. Yeah, you're right about that, because Jesus talked a lot about heaven and hell. In fact, he talked more about hell than he talked about heaven, because he actually said more people are going to hell than are going to heaven. He said, broad is the road that leads to destruction, because it's a place where lawbreakers go. If you stand before God, you're guilty. Like a judge who has sworn to uphold justice here, he has to uphold justice in heaven, if you will, and send people to hell.
Ooh, got to cut in right here, but we'll be right back here in a moment. Witness Wednesday Flashback on Wretched Radio.